Cheers, everybody. We are back for another edition of Bourbon on a Budget. TJ Pittenger, Brendan Sinone, and Ben Koch. Gentlemen, we hung out this weekend. Some of us drank too much.
Some of us would like to guys, forget.
How are you guys doing?
I want to remember
tonight?
It. Doing a great.
Still recovering.
Brendan, okay, so we drank a lot the other day, but like Brendan just kept going. Like, he was just like, oh, days on end, we're just going to keep drinking every day. So
yeah. It's really Ben's fault. We'll get into it. But Ben, really
is it my fault?
Isn't it?
That's a little bit so. Ben's fault. Okay, before we do any of that, let me send a tweet out real quick.
Brad's fault.
So we can get this show on the road, as the young people are saying this day, announcing.
No, saying that.
The winner of the big. So, Brendan, while I'm doing this, what are we doing tonight? What are we? What's starting the show?
Well, we're announcing the winner of a Pappy Van Winkle giveaway.
Old Rip Van Winkle.
Old Rip Van Winkle. But that's Pappy line, right? It is technically not Pappy Van Winkle. We're being very sticklers for detail today as we're recording for this week's episode. So I'm figuring out everyone's being
very stickler.
So sorry. We are announcing a winner for that, and as well as Weller 12 and Blanton's. So yeah, that's going to be really good.
Can you sound any more depressed announcing the winner?
I'm so
all Rip 10.
I'm so hung. I'm so hungover. I'm so hungover.
Announcing the winner of a Pappy.
All right,
Brendan,
come on, got some energy. All right, so in addition to some old Rip Van Winkle, we're gonna do Blanton's as well.
We're giving away what's outrageously rare bottle.
What's great is you sound like Trey Rowland when you do it that second time.
Yeah, hey buddy, how's it going, guy? You've been asking a really interesting question about wrestling. Just a little peek behind the curtain. This is not my normal backup. My internet isn't as good as normal. My mic's a little different than usual. Spoiler alert. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to that, your mic sounds really good.
Thank you.
Is this a new mic or did you take? It's cool that you took all your stuff down to. What was that?
TJ, I have a friend who had a mic in a garage, and I'm like some idiots. I took advantage.
No, is that the mic?
This amazing microphone.
Yeah. That has a stand to it too.
Oh yeah.
I think so, Posh. Having a mic stand with a mic. So,
that seems like your fault. You've had about 2 months to figure this out, and you're still holding that weird alien robot penis of a microphone really close to your mouth. Jelly. It's unsettling.
Hilarious that I've been telling Ben for a month and a half, like, there's a microphone in my garage. Just come get it.
Look. So it's never there.
Brendan, I guess, found it.
It almost got sent away because you had an Amazon package. So I'm at my dad's house in St. Pete, which is why the setup's a little different. Swung by and saw the boys, and Brendan drinks some Pedialyte. Thank you, Dave. Yes, it's been a lot of water. Pedialyte probably would be useful. And so I brought over TJ's microphone in an Amazon package, put it at my dad's counter, and I went upstairs, took a shower, unpacked. The package had been moved to the front door. They were so confused as to who brought this Amazon package to Todd Pittenger to their house. They were trying to return it. So anyways, it's a great story. I know.
The best part, it wasn't even an Amazon package. It was a Walmart delivery. But
whatever it was, I don't know.
It all works. Okay.
Oh my God.
We've got a few people in here. We've got actually on Twitter a ton of people. I just tagged Dylan in this. And we are announcing the winner of the Big Man Big Heart Bourbon Raffle. All the bottles were donated and free. So 100% of what was raised on Dylan's website through his Shopify will be going to Big Man Big Heart, Dylan's 501(c)(3) charity.
501(c)(3).
He is using through the NIL platform that he has as a Florida State football player. So without further ado, let's announce these things. Okay, let's go in reverse order. So take that, spin it around, and back it up. The winner
it's
of the
your
Blanton's.
From an inter- oh, so oh, good. That
was
good.
Tried to do it. Karatex made me there. I do. Like, I didn't know what it was. David Belcher of Tarpon Springs, Florida. Congratulations. You are our third place winner. You win the bottle of Blanton's.
Congrats, so
shout
David.
Out David.
We're going to go to Ala Halas after David. The show. You're going to buy me some nice Greek food. Tarpon Springs.
Number two, live from, I don't know what I'm saying. From Tallahassee, Florida.
Yes. Bryn.
Bryn Knott. Robert Ashburn, the winner of the William LaRue Weller 12 year.
Nice. Ooh. Nice. A little weeder during wheat month.
And then we go down south.
How wheat it is.
How down to Tampa. Wheat it is. We go down south for the winner of the Old Rip Van Winkle 10 year. Mm-hmm. He is hungry like the wolves, Mr. Scott Duran of Boca Raton, Florida. Do you like that?
No, that was awful. Way
to freaking go.
Scott, congratulations. Old Rip Van Winkle 10 year. If you won, shoot myself a message, shoot Dylan a message. We will coordinate getting you your bottles. Tampa and Tallahassee should be pretty easy. Boca Raton, we may have to do a little work for. So we'll figure that out. But Scott, hit us up. Robert, hit us up. David, hit us up. Congratulations on your winnings, guys. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't buy one. I just kind of went and gave it to the charity because I didn't.
It would have been a conflict of interest if you called yourself winning the Pappy. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't enter the charity, but I for some reason I kind of thought like, oh, maybe it'll be my name, and how could it be? But
it wasn't.
It would have been really.
I was hoping somebody put my name in the Sorting Hat or in the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
So, but it didn't happen. Okay, so shout out Dylan. In all seriousness, I know that we've been silly and joked and a bunch of different stuff, but Dylan raised over $3,000 for charity with this raffle. Shout out to him and his family for donating those bottles. Really cool to be able to raise well over secondary value for people that contributed. So for everybody that bought a ticket, for everybody that just shared or retweeted or told a friend or whatever, shout out to you guys. Hats off. Cool to give away bottles of bourbon, but it's really cool to do good things with it and raise money for charity. So shout out Big Man Big Heart, and let's play ball. I don't know how to transition from there. All right, some breaking news to the podcast. We did something kind of fun. We did something kind of fun. We're going to bring on a guest here in just a minute to talk about it. But Brendan came to town.
Oh, breaking.
Not only to just see, breaking news. I didn't even, I was not thinking that, but I'm so glad I did it now. That's so good. What did we do the other day, guys? Let's say that we'll bring on our special guest. Ben. What happened the other day?
Guys, we did our first and only, to this point, Blue Note store pick with Gaspers in Temple Terrace. First one, bourbon on a budget, hitting the store shelves in a couple of months. Blue Note! It'll impress your guests.
Super, super exciting.
Yeah. It was our first opportunity.
Super impressive. And now you guys are all wondering, who is this we've added? This is Brad. Brad Lee, as he goes by on here. Brad from Gaspers helped coordinate this Blue Note pick, helped set it up so that we could do a collab with Jimmy and the boys over at Gaspers. Helped walk us through the process. Got us in some trouble afterwards as well. Brad, how are you doing tonight, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Had a lot of fun when you guys were up here.
We had a blast. We already can't wait to do it the next time. We may leave Brendan at home, as he's kind of a, I don't know how you exactly explain it, but.
Let Brad describe it. Let Brad explain it. How would you describe my behavior?
Well, let's talk about the store pick first. Okay. Okay. We have been talking, Brad, for a little while. You know what? Let's back this up. Tell us a little bit about, tell us about yourself. Tell us about that beautiful wall you've got going on behind you. Tell us a little bit about Gaspers. Tell us about the pick. What your kind of some of your takeaways were from us doing the pick.
Okay. Wall itself is just green screen. It's not real.
That's the best green screen of all time.
Yeah, right. This is kind of my backdrop. I couldn't afford sound paneling, so put bottles up instead. Helps with the echo. I work at Gaspers Liquor Shop on the weekends. I do the opening, and I'm there till usually about 5 or 6 each day, just helping people go through their whiskey journey, pick out new bottles, something that something that's new to them, but familiar in flavor. A lot of times I'll have people come up and just say what they like to drink. And then I can show them three or four different brands that they've never had before that are along that same kind of palette.
Yeah. Jimmy's come on here several times and he's talked about the experience of Gaspers, right? It's not just a whiskey store. It's not just a liquor shop. It is a true experience. And Forrest, our producer, who's not on tonight, but who was with us last week, he talked about that, how it, you know, it's so much more than just going and grabbing a bottle at your local big box store or whatever, and just, you know, being able to taste things and try things. And that's a big part of it. And experts like you, who have incredible green screens, are part of that experience. Experts. Yeah. I mean, you're still higher than us. So, you know, we look up to you. But like people like you that are in there and are knowledgeable and know about what, in, you're part of that experience. Like, I mean, it's like going to a, I mean, for those that maybe are newer into bourbon or whatever, it's like, I used to go to Cigar City, and when they were really, really new, it'd be like, oh, you know, I like this, I like this, I like that. And it's just like, well, I don't know. A lot of people drink this, or a lot of people, now you go to Cigar City and they've been around for a while now, and their bartenders obviously know like how to compare things to it. But if I was to walk into Gaspers and find Brad there on a random weekend, I could tell him I like X, Y, Z, and he can kind of pick out things that I would like. So,
How long have you been doing that? I've been doing this for Jimmy probably 4 or 5 years now. I mean, I've been everything from checking IDs, you know, at the door there, to managing their slow shifts, to working in the liquor shop as just a guide, if you will, to, you know, new brands. But piggybacking off of what you just said, you can go anywhere and buy booze. You can go to Walgreens, you know, and get whatever you need. We sell experiences there. We want to give people tours. We want to show them something new. You know, our sample program is definitely our claim to fame. We're one of the only stores I've ever seen in the nation that has that many free samples. A lot of times you go into a store and it's like, oh, we got three different things to try today. Or it's some sort of collaboration with the brand ambassador where they're just sampling out that one product. Instead, we go through and have upwards to, at any given point, 400 different products open to try, not just whiskey, but primarily whiskey.
So Brad, you guys do a ton of store picks with that in mind as well. And a lot of those store picks are the samples that you have out there and offers cool, unique flavor profiles. I guess in the time that you've been at Gaspers, what have you seen kind of evolve or change with the store pick game?
I know for us personally, we've began to really judge the picks. It used to be, you know, a brand came in, you tasted it, you picked the best out of what samples you got, and you got it and you worked with it, whether it took you, you know, 24 hours to sell an entire barrel or 24 weeks, that didn't matter. Now that almost every company under the sun is doing a store pick, you kind of have to pick and choose. You have to go through and look at what the bottle costs and is this a value, and decide there, do we want to buy one of these barrels or do we want to request more samples? And we've gotten a lot more picky, I guess you could say, in our store picks recently. Our last one with Koval, I think we requested samples almost 3 times before we landed on one. And it's just because it just wasn't where we wanted it to be. And eventually we found it and we got it. So I think that's the biggest change for us recently.
But with that in mind, you were kind of our Sherpa, our guide to picking our first barrel pick the other day. I guess when you go about approaching, you've done, I mean, dozens, probably more than dozens at this point now that you've been involved with. I guess, what are you looking for with, I guess every barrel pick is going to be a little bit different, but generally speaking, Brad, like what are you looking for when you go through the selection process?
Primarily value. Taste and value are my biggest discerning, you know, that's factors right, when I'm doing the barrel pick. You know, every once in a while you are doing a brand that people are going to want, whether it's Buffalo Trace or anything like that. If we're doing something like that, that everyone's already gravitating towards, we go for unique, different, still good, obviously, but not like everyone else. You know, one of the hard things that we struggle with right now in the industry is, when a new pick comes to town, you're usually going to see that same bottle pop up at 3 or 4 different stores at the same time. So you kind of have a saturated market. And if you're all going for the best barrel, you're all going to kind of taste very similar. So
yeah, that makes sense. You know, we sat down and we were very kind of adamant that we were like, hey, we want to do Blue Note because we look at it in a similar way of a value proposition. And Blue Note, I think, provides a ton of value to, you know, the stores being able to sell at these price points that are not, you know, that are pretty atypical from the average store pick, you know, because you're in the mid 30s, like low $40 range versus, you know, where everything else is usually in the $60 to $70 range. So Blue Note kind of paired with our brand of bourbon on a budget kind of meshes really well. And so, like you were saying, the not only us we're competing, or not only Gaspers is going to be competing with Blue Note for those picks. So when we're kind of sat down and we're, you know, choosing bottles with you, it was like, hey, every other store is going to be getting a pick at the same time. How do we make sure that we're going to be the best one, you know? And so I thought it was a pretty interesting kind of conversation about that. And, you know, just us all choosing, trying to be like, hey, do we want to stick in profile or do we want to do unique, kind of balancing those two approaches?
I will say the next time we do a store pick, I don't know if I'm going to give you guys five samples because you guys went back and forth for a minute with like too many options.
Ooh, so that's analysis paralysis, baby. Yeah, that's how it goes.
That was good. So go ahead, Brendan.
We had to try to like tell ourselves to not do that too. Like there was a point we were going to start second guessing ourselves. Brad, we were going to go and start after we all picked unanimously which one we wanted, almost kind of blind, like we all wrote down after talking about it. We were about to start the conversation of like, do we want to go back and try it one more time? And I think it was Ben who was like, no, like we're good here. So we did stop ourselves.
We all wrote the same number down.
Start second guessing yourselves. That is the worst when you get into that rut of, well, wait a minute, this one's starting to open up now, or this one doesn't taste how it did a second ago. It gets even worse when somebody in the group starts like adding water to it or putting a, you know, cube of ice, because that's going to completely change the flavor profile. Now, all of a sudden, your first one out with three drops of water is the new rock star. And now you're all over the place. And sometimes it just does get a little too convoluted. So, yeah, I think what we did, where you just go through and you kind of unanimously vote on what's the worst, eliminate, and you narrow it down to a smaller choice, just makes it a lot easier, especially when you have that many samples.
Yeah, we tried to kind of be individualized. We went through and we nosed them and we tasted them. We all wrote down notes except for Ben, who just wrote a check mark next to one glass. But
decisive.
So then we did exactly what you just said. We eliminated, this will mean nothing to people watching or listening, but you know, we eliminated 3 and 5. We had 1, 2, and 4 left. We ended up knocking number one out next, and we were left with 2 and 4. We wrote down on a piece of paper, each of us, which one we wanted between 2 and 4. We all wrote down 4. And so that's when we kind of said, well, no discussion.
4 needed. It is, baby.
We all picked the same one. We went with 4. What do you, so this was our first one. And I want to go back before I ask you this. I do think Ben's correct. Like doing the Blue Note on the, for the first pick that we ever do with anybody.
Yeah.
Is that such, so fitting, choice. So fitting for us. So like right up our alley. Ben had hyped it up for weeks and weeks and weeks. So, you know, we open up to some different things, some different, you know, kind of wilder things or more expensive, whatever down the road. But I do like it for the first one. But in the way that we picked this one, how do you typically pick a little bit differently than we did? Or what, you know, I know you said like, you know, eliminating one kind of early is kind of a good start. But like, how have you noticed like anything kind of unique about different ways that people pick things?
So before I jump into that, going back to what you just said, I am definitely glad this is what we landed on. Little back info. We tried to get up a barrel pick with Woodinville previously. Mm-hmm. There was some scheduling conflicts. We couldn't get everyone together at the same time. And Ben still joined us for it just to kind of go through the process and, you know, see how it works and everything. I'm definitely glad this was the brand that it worked for all of us to get together and do the pick, because this is the epitome of what you guys talk about on a daily basis. So I'm glad that worked out the way it did. As far as like barrel picking processes, it does depend on who you're doing the picks with, how many people. You know, there are times where it's just, you know, one person and Jimmy that are like off at the distillery doing the pick. And a lot of times Jimmy will kind of just put his hands up and say, this is 100% on you. You pick what you want. He's still going to taste it. So if he thinks that you're completely off the rails, he's going to step in and kind of, you know, handle it from there. But I've done a handful of picks where it's just, I'm going off of my palate and I go through that same process that I talked to you guys about in store. You want to know what the bottle sells for. You want to know how many bottles you're going to have and then kind of judge that based on its flavor profile. There's a lot of expensive bottles out there that are great and they're definitely worth that price. But there's also some juice that's way better at $35. This is probably more of a $50 bottle if I had to put a price tag on it. That is just a slam dunk winner. So aside from that, we'll go through sometimes when we're kind of all over the place and we can't decide on what we're doing, we'll do a blind vote. I will have everyone in the group rank their picks in order. So if, you know, TJ, you like 2, 1, and 3 in that order from greatest to least. 2 will get 3 points, 1 will get 2 points, and 3 gets 1 point. And I do that with each member in the tasting group and then add them together. You have a collective score now, and whichever one scores the highest, that's the one you go with. You know, it's a majority rules kind of game that we play at Gaspers.
Sure.
So can you, so to me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to walk into Gaspers tomorrow and grab our bottle of this. What does our timeline look like to, you know, start putting money aside from each paycheck, start saving? You know, our listeners are ready to freaking rip, right? So we're going to start saving money. When can we expect the bottles to hit the shelf, be ready to go?
I can tell you that you'll have a more definitive time frame when it's that 2 weeks out. The way it works with this specific company, it's coming from Memphis, Tennessee. There's not a lot of liquor being produced in Memphis that's being shipped down to Tampa. So what they do is they wait for that truck to be completely filled before it comes down. So this Blue Note pick that we did together just missed the cutoff by like a week to get bottled, labeled, and on the truck to come down here. So they're estimating that the next truck is going to be in about 7 to 8 weeks or so. But we're coordinating with the brand ambassador and with Scott, the sales rep with this brand, to make sure that we know exactly when it's going to be in, so we can do something special for you guys, whether that be, you know, a party or, you know, something.
Yeah, we're just ready. Sorry, you go.
I was going to say just what Brendan needs to
grab
a glass and say "Opa" and throw it on the ground. Like that just, you know, seems right up his alley.
It's forever going to be in my collection.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to take this to, you know, kind of some things that happened after the pick, but Ben, was your last one about the pick?
No, I was just saying that gives us plenty of time to start, you know, start socking that money away, get ready to blow out Gaspers weekend one, sell the whole barrel out. That'll be amazing.
Well, what's so cool, and Brad mentioned doing something, you know, and we're humbled, Brad, and we've told Jimmy this, you know, I'm not kissing your butt, but I'm going to kiss your butt a little bit. We were so humbled just to be able to do the pick with you guys and just taking a chance on us to do a pick with us, for us to not come in and screw it up, which, knock on wood, hopefully we don't, but do a pick with us and then, you know, promote it and help us, and then come on here on the show and talk about it. And then, you know, you guys talked about, Jimmy, and you guys have both talked about doing an event, doing like a release party or something like that, which, and we're at the end of the day, and we're just bourbon fans, you know, like we're nobodies, we're not anything special, you know, like Ben's a little special, but other than, you know, his own difficulties, we really just like bourbon. And so I think this is going to be a ton of fun, and we're really appreciative of that. Well, no, so that party's going to be bomb. I'm just going to tell you guys.
Definitely have an influence. I had one weekend. It was probably about 2 weeks before I reached out to you guys on Facebook, where I had 5 people in one day come in looking for the James E. Pepper Rye Store pick because they saw it on this podcast, Bourbon on a Budget.
Which, it's so good.
I hadn't heard of you guys yet, you know, and after the 5th person in that, you know, time span of a weekend came in mentioning the exact same thing, I was like, all right, I need to look these guys up. And I saw you did a review of our product, so I tagged it on our Facebook and then got to thinking, you know what? We do all these, you know, picks. Why not let you guys do one? You know, you guys support us. We can support you back.
No, we definitely appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of fun, though, We had a little.
How did we repay Brad for being so generous? How did we repay him?
Speaking of fun, we had a little bit of fun. Yeah. After the store pick, we went over to Brad's house, and Brad was like, "Hey, we need to come and hang out." And so, Brendan, I think I'm going to pass this to you here. And why don't you
drop
a little,
it?
Yeah, don't drop the ball. Don't drop the ball here. But give me a little rundown of what you remember happening.
What I remember.
It's about what we sounded like by the end of the night.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets better.
Remember is a good choice worse. Of where they've been, because it is a little subjective to memory there. So Brad was generous after we finished up the tasting for the barrel pick, and then they made us some cool old fashions as well with another Blue Note product. We had a really good time. We filmed there as well. It was a blast for about an hour and a half. And then Brad was like, "You guys want to come over and try a few samples?" Because I mentioned, I was thinking about, yeah, there we go. Riverset. That's their
actually what I'm sipping on tonight.
It's a really good rye. It's described as a bourbon drinker's rye, and I agree. So Brad invited us to come over, and I'd say, "You want to try some Octomore?" Because I was talking to him how I want to try Octomore. And I was like,
he tried to blame it on.
Yes, the Octomore got the night going in a very interesting direction. So I love my peated whiskey. Brad was generous enough to offer me a sample from his own collection from the green screen behind him of the heaviest peated whiskey in the planet, potentially. That's how they advertise it. So we got going with that, and Brad was just one cool sample after another. We were having a really good time, and I forget what bottle it was that ended up doing me in, but Brad pulled out, was like, "You want to try this one?" And I don't even know if he invited me to try. He pulled it out, he showed it, and I just happily took my empty Glencairn, handed it to him, and dropped it on the ground and broke it.
When you say handed, you mean just like
completely slammed it,
threw it on the ground. You're like, "Yeah, I was not that."
I mean, I couldn't tell if he was pulling a move from Thor where he slammed it on the ground asking for another, or if he was so excited by whatever I pulled out that he threw the glass at me get a sample.
Remember the Mark Sanchez butt fumble? It was that graceful. Like, it was that bad of a move.
He caught it at least three times and then dropped it again.
It happened in slow motion. It was definitely a kid in a candy store kind of enthusiasm that was going into just this really cool selection of these units. Yeah. Like, Brad's, do you want to tell us about your selection real quick, Brad? Because there's like so many cool, like, not only just big name stuff, but also just like kind of secret stuff too, which makes it fun and unique.
So I have a combination of different verticals I'm trying to collect of discontinued product or things that are coming out each year that I want to wait till it's fully done before I can, you know, taste it and do kind of a flight with friends when they come over. Perfect example being this Pinhook. They started that 4 years. You get a glare on it, but they're going to release the same distillate from the same season, same mash, everything every year, starting at 4 years through 12. We're only up to year 6 as of this year.
Wow.
Only age separates that. There's not many products that only age is the difference between each bottle. Mm-hmm. I want to have a flight of that when I'm done. So I'm holding on to some of these, the Makers FEA, wood finish series. The rest of it is just interesting stuff that I find. It's a lot of store picks. It's any random bottle that's around that $40 price point and cheaper. I generally like to grab just random things off the shelf that I've never heard anyone talk about just to see if it's a hidden gem, you know, Blue Note being one of those hidden gems. A lot of people weren't talking about it until they came out with that 17 year, and that's where they really blew up. And then the store picks got popularity, and just now it's hyped from there.
Yeah. We're excited for the pick, Brad. I know that we kept you a little longer than we thought we would. We're excited for the pick. We're excited to keep sending people. I almost said shooting people over to Gaspar's. Sending people. We're going to shoot you if you don't go to Gaspar's, I guess is the message that I'm going
to. That's how we got the five people to talk about the James Pepper. We threatened to shoot them, Brad.
It sounds like a Ricky Bobby advertising campaign.
It does. So I did a show today. We're for that bourbon giveaway, and I was trying to convince people to go buy last minute tickets. And I basically said, like, "Hey, if you won't go buy a ticket, share this." There were like 200 people live listening to it, and I said, "This should have hundreds of retweets by the end of this. If you don't retweet this, you're a bad person." So yeah, I'm big on like pressuring people into doing things. So
it's not peer pressure. It's just your turn.
Great. Yeah, it's right. So Brad, thank you for hanging out tonight. Thank you for all your help with the store pig. Thank you for opening up your floor to Brendan's broken glass.
Sorry, Brad.
And thank you for sharing your whiskey with us. We're excited to do it again. I can already tell that, you know, the night that we do our party, we're probably going to end up back at Brad's house, and I'm probably going to have to call an Uber because
I'm going to bring my own Glencairn just to
bring
case.
A broom and a dustpan.
We should get a plastic Glencairn for Brendan.
Yeah.
Do they make plastic
rubber? I'm definitely not going to bring out my Gaspers logoed ones anymore. That's for sure.
You ruined that, Brendan. Brad, thank you again for hanging out. Go see Brad on the weekends at Gaspers. He's there a lot of weeknights too, in the bar, right? Is what I kind of understand. And
we've
taken
Friday nights as of recent. We've got store picks lined up every Friday for about a month right now, and then we've also got tastings lined up almost every Thursday. Right now, we're working on trying to get New Riff and Bull Run to come down.
Oh, awesome! We'll come to the Bull Run.
Yeah. I love Bull Run.
I can give you a little plug. I'm not sure when this is airing, but a week from this Thursday, Master Distiller of Yellowstone will be down.
Oh, awesome. Good stuff. Brad, thank you again for hanging out. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon. We'll talk to you soon. And we can't say thank you enough, man. Take care.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Brad.
Sorry about the Glencairn.
He's over.
Yeah, dangus.
Brad from Gaspers Liquor Shop in Tampa, Florida. Right there near Temple Terrace. Ben said Temple Terrace, but right at the corner of Bush and 56 is
Temple Terrace.
Close to there. So I think it's a Tampa address.
I think it's Temple Terrace if you had to guess the right thing.
Oh okay. Well, yeah. People say Jimmy always says Tampa, doesn't he?
Well, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it going. So,
Brad says Temple Terrace,
baby.
It's Temple Terrace.
I grew up in Temple Terrace, so.
You guys are wasting time. Anyway. So, all right, what do we have up next? King of the Hill, weeded. Rounds 3 and 4. What are we drinking tonight, Sinone? Let's go.
All right, so sorry.
Your microphone does sound amazing.
Thank you. I'm going to keep this. Screw Ben. So, we are moving on to round 3 and 4 with our contender for our weeder, King of the Hill. Maker's 46 cast strength. It beat out Maker's Mark normal cast strength in round 2. Who did it beat out in round 1? I'm trying to remember.
Wilderness Trail.
Weeded Store Pick. Yes. So, anyways, this is moving on to round 3. We're going to start off with one that is comparably proof. This is at 111.2. We're going to go in with a weeder. I don't have the bottle with me. I just have my little sample that I brought with me to St. Pete. It is Weller Antique 107, fellas.
Interesting here.
Well, so real quick before we get into the nose, I know immediately after just having these out for the last 20 minutes, Ben's going to gravitate towards.
I know. I crap on Weller a lot.
So main Weller line is Weller Special Reserve, which in theory should be a $20-$25 MSRP. It's not, but that's their entry-level 90-proof weeder. Then it's Antique 107. It's supposed to be about $50. It's their higher-proof wheat. Not going to find it at $50. If you do see it out in the wild, it's probably going to be about $100, maybe more than that. I think online it's about $120, $130. I got my bottle at $60, so not bad at all. And then finally, it's going to be Weller 12, which was released tonight, which I like Weller 12. It's a 12-year. It's just it's lower proof. It's that 90. So a lot of people combine 107 and 12 to make poor man's pappy. This is the beginning of the weeded line for Buffalo Trace. It includes William Lurie Weller, which you guys love. And God, I hope we don't find that at the very end of round 5 of King of the Hill. Hopefully someone eliminates it. But we're going with 107 because this is considered a fan favorite. A lot of people really do like this from the Weller line. But we poured it out. And so far, Ben hates it, I think.
I don't hate it. I just there's way more fruit to the 107, like
red apple,
raspberry, cranberry, cherry. Yeah, it's way more fruity than the 47 cask or the 46 cask.
Stop adding.
Where the 46 cask is like definitely that marshmallow, dark caramel, but man, The fruit of the Weller Antique 107 It's crazy. And we're talking about only nose. It's like almost like fruit roll up. Not fruit by the foot. Yeah, fruit roll up. Sweetness. Sweet tart. Man.
Sweet tart.
Interesting. Sweet tart. Interesting on the 107.
It's just on the nose alone, and I'm drinking out of these wine glasses because I don't have the...
Embarrassing.
First off, I'm not allowed to handle Glencairns anymore after this week, but I just didn't have
it. Valid.
My dad's. So what I can get out of the nose with an inferior glass is the 46 has just a ton more depth and just frankly flavor. I guess not flavor because you're not tasting it, you're smelling it. The 46 to me on the nose is superior. There's a lot more going on.
So we're doing the 107 first, right? We're doing one at a time.
Yeah, 107 versus 46.
Correct. Okay, round three.
A little spoiler alert. I haven't tasted all three. I've been drinking the Larceny because I poured so much of it because we did the review on that. I think it's the best nose of all three.
What? But we'll do one at a time. We're doing round three. What are you doing? Yeah. Oh my God.
I just wanted to jump in the line here. Well, I didn't drop a Glencairn on somebody's ground, so suck it. I just want to do a quick little sneak peek, but yeah.
TJ, no one knows that's happening yet. We're only going on the third round.
Oh, okay.
You've been canceled.
But this is moving on, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're only like 2 minutes.
We'll see. Interesting here. I'm kind of enjoying the fruit, you know, like I'm moving away from the toast into the fruit. A little bit lighter, a little more fruity toast. Delicate.
The 107. Like toast. Ooh, there you go. The 107 on the palate to me is much closer to the 46. I think the nose for the 46 is exquisite.
Nose for the 46 is better. The palate on the 107, though, I think is better.
It's more refreshing.
Right? I would agree because it's like lighter. It's fruity. Am I totally off base with the fruit? I feel like it's so fruity.
I get a ton of red apple, cherry. I could see the cranberry. There used to be this cranberry apple Minute Maid drink in middle school that we would always get. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit. It's very sweet.
Little cinnamon and clove on that Weller, or am I just crazy?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
A little spice.
Hmm.
The fruit is definitely the front end. The spice comes in around the back end.
Mm. Ben's if Brad's still in the chat and he has 107 and 46 cats of the house, type in the chat, Brad. Let us know what you think is better.
Hmm.
Not that it'll play into this.
I was going to say tiebreaker, but there's three of us. So the 107.
No, we're our own tiebreaker.
The 107 finish.
Maker's 46 cask.
Hangs, even though it's like 4 or 5 proof points lower, it hangs with the 46 too. There's a nice level of barrel spice with the 107 as well. So it has started off with an underwhelming nose. All of a sudden, I think we're in a bit of a. I think we're in a bit of a race.
We're a finish here. Off.
Yeah.
A finish cool. off.
Pickle. It's a real pickle, Dick. Dick and Jane. It's a good movie. This is closer than I thought it was going to be when we first poured him. I thought it was just going to be a blowout.
I thought it was going to be a runaway 46.
So I do have a vested interest in this getting eliminated pretty quickly. The cask, the makers.
And we have vested interest in making sure that's
continuing on. Yeah.
Yeah. Because at round five, we have William LaRue Weller as the main challenger for King of the Hill. I'm the one who has William LaRue Weller bottle.
Send it on down, dude.
Yeah, 46. 46 wins for me.
46 won all the way.
All right, that's 2-0.
Here's what I think, though. I think
let's be serious.
Yeah, on a serious note, I think the antique 107 is like delicate enough and kind of like complex enough to be the winner on this. The problem, I think, is that with the robustness of the Larceny barrel proof, I think how dense that flavor profile is, it would lose. So I feel like I'm going to be leaning 46 cask just because I feel like there's more of a dense flavors on the 46 cask.
The Weller 107 is really good. I think it's... I agree with Ben. It's kind of what you're in the mood for. Are you wanting that full body, thick flavor, toasty kind of finish, or the 107, which is drinks remarkably light for a 107 proof bourbon? It is fruity. There are some really delicious, sweet characteristics to it, but it's like, what are you in the mood for? Well, it was a little bit cold this morning, so I'm leaning a little bit more Maker's Cask. Are you drinking in the summer? Okay. A little bit more Weller 107. Yeah. So both of these are very, very good, but I'm probably leaning it's very hard to compare like Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper, right? Like they both serve their purpose, right? You know, it's, you know, I don't know. How do you compare things that are very, very different in that regard? Brendan, save us a little bit.
It's interesting. It's interesting because they are both weeded, right? They're both weeders. It's just showing what that stave profile can do with the 46. So here's what I'm going to say. I think we're going back and forth here. To me, when they're close, and these are very close, this is going to be a razor finish. I think we use price and availability as the tiebreaker for King of the Hill. And
very valid.
Are we cool with
very
that?
Very valid.
So if that's the case currently, you can find Maker's Cast Strength, not everywhere, but you can find it. Like I can get it in my ABC right now. If I went into the ABC in Tallahassee, I could find it. It's becoming more available. It was a limited release we discussed last week. It's become more available. So about $60 and you can find it. Weller 107. I've never seen in the wild. I had to get it in a group at $60. Good luck. But if you do see it in the wild, it's going to be probably $100 gassed up. So I'm going Maker's 46 is what I'm going to,
I'm going to branch out here and throw a, throw a sports reference at you guys since y'all don't like sports. I'm going to say tie goes to the runner and, Maker's 46 is going to be continuing on.
How's it the runner?
Because it's the challenge. It's like the
the challenger.
It's the king, right? It's supposed to be the one going all the way up to the top of the hill.
It's not the king. It's like the prince that's coming.
He's running to the top of the hill. That's
how
it is.
So before we move on, I got the 46 as well. They're both really good, but I think I kind of want to do a little blend at the end of this because that sounds amazing. The toast and the fruit. That's
TJ.
Really good.
It's the first good idea you've had in a long time.
Long, long time. My guy Jason is in Lexington tonight. He is on the trail.
Way to go, dude.
Having bomb burgers in a plastic cup. My man. Shout out Jason. He's been texting me different things that he's been seeing on the trail. Hey, can I get you this? Can I get you that?
Me too.
The problem is that I'm poor, unlike Ben and Brendan, and so I can't afford any of it. You know, but shout out Jason. I hope. He's like, can I look for anything for you? I was like, if they have any Sazerac 18, that'd be great. But
real quick, a very important topic. TJ mentioned Ben and Brendan. Ben, if we were an item dating together like Ben and Jennifer Lopez, would it be Bren or Benden? What would our couple's name be?
Benden.
We're not gonna be Benden. We're not Benden cock, I'll tell you that much. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Bending,
not gonna be that. I'll tell you that much.
Bending cock over. Okay, all right. Round four. All right, we have another challenge.
Contender.
Oh my god, you're so bad at this.
Do you remember the prompt?
Yeah, the prompt is larceny.
Okay, what do we got next?
Larceny barrel proof A120 versus. The contender, Maker's 46 cask.
This strength. Is has any King of the Hill gotten passed around for? This is usually where the contender kind of runs out of steam.
I think Midwinters did, didn't it? Midwinters made it to round five.
It was also a weird
finish series. It was a finish kind of finish fest. It was interesting.
So we are doing Larceny Barrel Proof. We are going to review Larceny Barrel Proof. It's A120 batch on Thursday's show. Mm-hmm. This is a bottle that I got when it first came out at $50. Absolutely loved it. I thought the proof with the wheat combination at like 120, I think 2 proof. It's really, really proofed up, TJ. There's a lot of proof to it. And now though, it's harder to find. It is a limited release, which makes it hard to find anyways, but because it was at such a good price point, people really loved it. The secondary on it has been jacked up to about $120, $130 or so. And it is hard to find in stores. So that's what we're going against. Maker's Cask 46 Cask Strength versus Larceny Barrel Proof.
Spoiler alert again, we're reviewing this on Thursday. We've already been tasting it a little bit because, spoiler, we do the review beforehand, so we'll have a fresh palate for that. Thoughts on the nose on both of these, Ben?
I think this isn't as close as the 107. I think profile is more similar to each other, but I think as far as like the race is concerned, I feel like I'm kind of leaning already towards 46. Like I like the marshmallow versus there's a lot of gas in the A120. So a lot of cinnamon, allspice, cardamom. It's all there, man. It is a ton of, it's a spicy bomb.
I like that comparatively. So when we did the pre-recording for the Larceny Barrel Proof, it was so overwhelming initially because that's what we started with. Not that we've had some other bourbon time to acclimate. It's not punching me in the face as much. I like the Larceny Barrel Proof nose a little bit more, but I like all the things you just mentioned, Ben. I like the spice. I like some of the caramel as well that goes with it. It's a very standard bourbon-y. A little less corn. That wheat kind of softens it up a little bit, but the proof adds this nice spice. So for my preference, I'm leaning to the Larceny Barrel Proof on the nose. They're both very good, but I thought the Larceny Barrel Proof kind of stands out and it's got some nice maple syrup as well to go on top of all the other spices you mentioned.
TJ, what do you got?
No, I'm kind of right there with you.
TJ's hammered. He's blacked
out. Yeah, okay, good. I think
TJ's blacked out right now.
No, I think I'm right there with you.
With which one of us? We had different opinions.
Yeah, no, sorry. The Larceny, the Makers is better. The Makers has a slightly better nose. It's more toasty. I think
if you start buying like the higher end Maker stuff, they put out, I mean, it's like the higher end Makers is like the higher end Jack. Like the base stuff is such a disconnect from their higher end product. It's amazing. So just saying.
All right, let's taste it. And I will say, if there was ever a taste, listen, I'm not going to cheat on this, but what I'm going to say is one way or the other, whatever wins this round four is going to go up against William Leroux Weller next
week. That's not what's happening.
Now, let's just agree on that.
46 cast is going to continue on.
I have been drinking the...
yes, clear.
Period. I have been drinking.
Very obvious. We can all tell.
I've been drinking this. This is
yes. Nothing. Again, period. We know
this
yes.
is nothing.
Child's play.
I've been on the Larceny Barrel Proof all night, so I'm accustomed to that right now. So I am kind of thinking that I'm going to lean that way a little bit, but we'll taste both and we'll see.
46 on my side, gents.
For taste as well, Ben.
Yeah, I'm kind of out of my 46 cask right now. That's how much I've enjoyed it. So from what I can remember tasting it.
Oh, okay, good. So scientific as well. So to me, where it really kind of pulls ahead, I do like the Larceny nose better, but it's not like a clear runaway. It's probably 60-40. Where I think it really pulls through, and initially I think the taste is kind of similar. Get more toast and marshmallow with the 46, which is nice. You get more of that, just that maple syrupy, spicy, with a little bit of nut with the Larceny Barrel Proof. To me, where it kind of shines, though, where the Larceny Barrel Proof distinguishes itself and why I'm going to go with Larceny Barrel Proof, I want to share with you, is the finish. The finish to me is that spice. It is, spoiler alert, when we did the review, I gave it an elite finish. I thought it was as perfect or as close to perfect as a finish as I would like in a bourbon. It's a great finish. It's got a nice amount of spice. It's different than the nose, though, so it adds its complexity to it. Complete start to finish, I'm going with Larceny Barrel Proof. I love it. I think it's really good. And Maker's Mark kind of straight 46 is really good too, but it's Larceny Barrel Proof for me.
Interesting.
So I'm the decider here, is what you're saying.
Oh god.
Yeah, to me, I get 46 nose palate, Larceny finish. And so 2/3 is 46. I gotta go 46. Yeah,
how many the points nose is finish?
Four.
They're all the same. All the
nose
same.
Is the nose is definitely better on the 46. Like I can't even agree with the Larceny one. The Larceny one is, I don't love the nutty that we talked about on taste.
I mean, nobody's gonna pick here. Ty goes to the William Leroux Weller.
The I think the Maker's 46 is slightly ahead on taste, and then on finish. See, like if I do finish, like to me, this one's a. This one's like a W, but this one's like an LW. So WLW me. Maker's 46. Moving on.
Send the samples, Brendan.
I would like 4 ounces myself.
Brendan leaves. this could have been Maker's base. It still got to the end. But I got to the end.
Easily. Yeah, Maker's 46. It actually is better. I know that we're joking and stuff, but actually, I don't know if it is or not. But
availability, man.
Availability does matter. And that was tie goes to the availability. I agree with that. So
yeah, tie goes to the runner, dude.
It was a good one.
Tie goes.
So we'll see next week if Maker's 46 can make it all the way through King of the Hill. If it does, we'll drink. Does a round six, would we get to try your Pappy 15? Is that how this would work?
If that is the case, then it may beat one. Yeah. And if you got probably 23, it may be the 15. You never know. 15.
Sorry, I hate Brendan. You guys. All right. I hate you.
Sorry, all right, Ben. All right, so we'll be back next week with King of the Hill. Don't miss that.
I gave Joe Decadence a sample of William Lou Weller because he's so generous and gives us so much stuff. And Joe, I'm going to need you to send that sample to TJ and Ben.
I've had one sample of the Weller in the past, and it's amazing. It is like strawberry cream. Oh gosh, it's outstanding. I just need you to remind me, Brendan, how good it is.
It might be the best bourbon out there. It's got to be the
conversation. We'll see if it can beat out.
Man, it's so good. It is so freaking good. But I need to make sure it's good. So please send me another sample. It's great.
Yeah. Make sure you fill it all the way to the top of the sample bottle, please.
Right.
It's going to be a TJ style sample.
Pull a Ben style.
If you pull a 1 ounce sample.
No, it's TJ does a full, it does a 2 ounce sample, but fills it up 1 point. Or 1.5 ounces.
And it's good. Okay. Ben's going to want to talk about this. We're going to skip pursuits and purchases this week, but we did something. We did the barrel tasting. Then we had old fashions. Then we went to Brad's house. Then Ben didn't feed us, and we went.
Yes.
We had one final stop on our night of rendezvous.
Yeah.
Ben, talk to us a little bit about what we did. Remind some of us what we did after.
Yeah.
We,
I'll let you guys know because I'm not sure what y'all remember. So we have
I am going to mix that Maker's 46 and that Weller.
All right,
that
sounded amazing.
I think that'll be pretty stellar. That'd be great. Yeah. TJ. So one of our listeners, my brother-in-law,
I've heard
put
of him.
Together a bottle share. Shout out, Brian. And we had a great time. Now, we were outrageously late to this bottle share because, again, we previously did the and Brad's, and then Brendan dropping a Glencairn at Brad's all prior to this. And so we showed up, and Brian had decided that he wanted to do a blind bottle share, meaning you show up with a bottle that you're pretty excited about, but you know what it is, ain't no one else know what it is. And so when TJ was saying earlier, we had a Fireball and we had a Sazerac, all of those are fake news. Because it was just bottles poured into those bottles. Anyway, we had a really good time. TJ and Brendan, I think, almost remember having a good time. I can't confirm or deny whether or not they remember having a good time or not. But it was really interesting, kind of like going to a bottle share blind. I think these are great opportunities if you guys are wanting to try a lot of different product, but you don't want to go out and spend $300 or $400 to kind of expand your palate. Bottle shares are great. You go out and you buy one bottle, you kind of hook up with a couple other bourbon drinkers in the area, and you kind of sample a lot of stuff. So
eat food though before you go. Eat food
definitely,
before you go.
Definitely eat food. So and maybe skip a barrel pick, old fashioned, and then Brad's house prior to going.
Don't go to Brad's house.
No, Brad's house was the right play. What I don't understand is Ben saw how I was at Brad's house and then refused to stop at any burger joint on the way.
I thought there was gonna be more food than there was.
Yeah, I told my dad about that. He's like, well, so you were hungry and Ben wouldn't stop? And I was like, yeah. He's like,
and then blamed us for acting a fool.
Yeah, and he was like, what's wrong with Ben? You were hungry. I was like, I know, he couldn't just stop for 2 minutes. It was the
most- I'm not your mom. Okay, Brendan. I don't stop wherever you ask me to.
We were an hour and a half late. There's a Checkers. There's a Checkers right next to Gasper's. Like right next to Gasper's. Brad said next time he'll serve food.
Brad, no, you're perfect. You don't have to do.
I want Brad's ramen.
You want a broken photo? Plate?
Oh my gosh.
No, Brendan's not in the group. We took him out once he
brought the ramen photo?
I don't want Brad to serve food because then we'll have broken plates and bowls and stuff on the floor and everything.
Also very valid.
So, I would probably not break as much stuff if I had in my stomach.
We were an hour and a half late and Ben wouldn't stop for 5 minutes for food. Like if you were like going to be right on time and you don't want to stop for food, that'd be one thing. But if you're already an hour and a half late, what's the difference between an hour and a half and an hour and 35?
Ben was being ridiculous. I maintain that that was absurd.
So whose fault would you really say it was? Do you blame Brad? We certainly aren't going to blame ourselves, Brendan. You blame Brad, you blame Jimmy, or you blame Ben or
Jimmy.
Brian.
Oh, Jimmy's a good one to blame in all this too. He's not here.
It's really hard to blame on Jimmy. I don't know if I blame it on anybody. It was just a product of the circumstances, you know? That's what it was, you know? You couldn't,
as long as it's not blame on me. That's fine.
So it was a fun way to do, from what I remember, a bottle, to experience different bottles and get different people to share their experiences of why they like something or why something's unique. What did we bring? I brought a
What
Sam
did
Houston.
You bring, Brendan?
I brought
you
Sam Houston.
Anyone else bring?
Yeah, I brought Sam Houston 14. And you guys shit all over it, which I thought was rude. I also brought a Starlight figured in.
You can't remember, but he definitely knew it sucked.
No, I like Sam Houston 14. Yeah, the issue is you drink the lowest proof one at the very end. Someone tried to give us a Balcones rye, which was a ridiculous thing to try to push on people. I'd call shenanigans on that.
Balcones rye?
Sweet Brian, I think. We guessed it was a Texas whiskey. There was a Knob Creek 12 year, I think, as well.
That was
TJ's. Ben did the Willett.
Willett Family Estates 4 year rye. Yeah, solid.
1792 full proof. That was a good one. That was a great pick.
You didn't. I don't know if you. I forget remember any of this, TJ.
I forget what was in the fireball. As soon as you tell me, I'll remember. TJ was. Well, let's go to this, Ben. Who was the most absurdly behaved of us three in your estimation?
So I feel like it was just an amplification of your current personalities, and so like That's TJ just got even more louder and more boisterous, and then Brendan just got more awkward.
Yes.
He dropped three glasses at Brian's. He dropped three glasses at Brian's, but only one at Brad's. So other than that, it was good. I got y'all out of there, relatively early. Went back.
But we were starving.
Yep. Held the fort down.
36 pounds thrown up in my kid.
TJ went home. We played video games and drank Michter Toaster Barrel Rye and had McDonald's. It was amazing.
What a way to savor a super allocated bourbon. To serve it with McDonald's and video games.
Well, being already really drunk.
It was good. It was good.
Good job, guys. Way to go. That's good.
All right. What are we doing on Thursday? We got a minute and a half before we get out of here.
Okay. Yeah. We are reviewing Larceny Barrel Proof Batch A120. Come on back. We talked about a little bit tonight, Contender Round 4, but we're going to give it a full review. So you'll see that on Thursday. And next week, we'll probably have a live show coming out. How about this? We're going to tease that. A live show, an on-location show. Just keep an eye out for that. That's a tease. A cliffhanger, as you would say. Back to you, TJ.
Brendan, we've got about a minute to go here. Do you have any shout-outs or anything you'd like to talk about before we go?
Yeah, shout-out to all the husbands who are getting flowers at Publix today. You suck. Get it? Like,
yeah, this
not
is
today.
Literally Valentine's Day currently, right now.
Yeah. I will say, I went and got flowers
today. I think my dad got flowers for his wife today.
Flowers today. There's nothing wrong with that. Shout out to flower getters on Valentine's Day.
And shout out to the Super Bowl and Valentine's Day being within a day of each other. That made Publix not crazy yesterday.
Oh, my boy. Balloons everywhere.
Yeah, balloons all over the place. Shout out to Ben for not stopping for
and
McDonald's.
Starving his friends.
Won't stop.
You're dead to me.
Shout out Brendan's mic. We'll see you guys in there.
shout out William Lerweller.
Weller, I barely knew her.